Can you talk about how these changes in the 1970s affected patients with diabetes?
Yes, I mean, traditionally, if a diagnosis of potential diabetes was reached in general practice, the patient was either referred to outpatients at the hospital if the problem didn't seem to be life-threatening, or they were admitted as an emergency in a crisis. During the period 1974 to 78, when we became a little more proactive, we started looking at patients with maturity onset diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and learning how to control those patients at home. So we upskilled ourselves not only in the diagnosis of diabetes, but also in the management of type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes we still felt was beyond our expertise and tended to refer all type 1 diabetics to hospital.
When you talk about in the home, did this involve home visiting or simply the patient reporting how they were getting on?
It was really the patient reporting how they were getting on. Most of the patients, fortunately, were mobile, although we did a lot more home visiting then than we do now. Some of the patients with complications, particularly the amputees, we used to visit at home. But it was quite difficult to arrange near-patient testing in those days. We didn't have blood sticks. I mean, we used to test their or try to assess their glycemic control by using urine dipsticks, which was purely a surrogate marker of blood sugar levels. But that's all we had at the time.
In the 1970s, did you know how many people in your practice had diabetes?
No, we didn't. In fact, in the 70s, it was quite difficult to keep track on patients because we were a group practice, so the patients could elect to see whichever doctor they wanted to see. So it's quite difficult to manage continuity of care because you may well have seen a patient on two or three occasions, then they'd be followed up by one of your partners. So it became obvious to us that we needed to have a common approach.